Well, hello, everybody.
Hi.
Good morning. Good morning. I just want to, actually, I had this word a week or two ago to go along with some things that were on my heart regarding where I feel like God wants us to and what God wants us to address in this hour. I really sense with all, again, we should all have a deep caring about who leads us and who you know, all of that's very, very important. But I kept this feeling in my heart. The Lord says, seek first my kingdom. Amen. Seek first my kingdom. Because a lot of things get solved when we seek first the kingdom. Amen?
Amen. Yes.
I don't care if you're talking about how you deal with the situation in your life, how your nation is governed, how you vote, how you pray, everything is about seek first the kingdom. Amen?
Yes.
Yep. Amen. And we know ultimately, guys, there's no perfect men and women in any situation in life that in their skill and ability can lead us perfectly. It's going to take a move of God.
That's right.
In this land like never before. Because we know the fabric of the nation has to be awakened with a spiritual awakening. Do we agree?
Amen.
That's got to take place.
Yes.
Amen. How many want to be a part of that though? Mm-hmm. I want to be a part of it. In Hebrews 11, we're not going to turn there, but I'm just going to kind of give you a quick review of that chapter that I've talked to you many, many times. In Hebrews 11 and 12, it tells us that we're invited to run a race that has been set before us. I like to call it a faith race. And it actually was begun by the men and women of faith who have gone before us. The Bible calls them what? The great cloud of witnesses. Those men and women who've gone before us. And because here's the thing. Here's what it says in Hebrews. What they began to believe for is only going to be fulfilled in us. They didn't even see the fullness of what they believed. I mean, no, that's true from generation to generation. It's to the next generation. I like to put it this way. It actually says in Hebrews, apart from us, what they were believing for and standing for will not be fulfilled. Now, God is kind of setting us up to move into the powerful chapter 11 and 12. Yeah. And as he sets that up, he's telling us something very powerful. That I believe the Lord has truly extended his scepter. Would you agree?
Amen.
But I like to look at it like this. He's also extended a baton. Everybody know what a baton is?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
A baton of faith. To relay that faith to the next person that's going to run it. And but can I tell you, with a baton, there's a mission. You know, if we watch people running a relay, they don't just hand it off and the guy gets it next and goes, oh, I'm going to go over the sideline and play with this. No, he's got a mission. Stay on track. Amen?
Right.
Stay on track. Say it.
Stay on track.
And then finish.
Yeah. Yeah.
Finish this thing that I've begun. And really, it's like that in the faith of the kingdom. And we've been given a commission. Would you agree?
Yeah.
We've been given a mission. Understanding that, though, it's required of us to lay aside every encumbrance and every sin which so easily entangles us. Amen? And run with endurance the race that is set before us. I like that. It's set before us.
Yes.
Not meaning that God says, I'll run it for you. Everybody's wanting God to run everything, but God's saying, no, I actually have given you the authority. I've given you a commission to go for that. And what's the answer? Fix our eyes on Jesus. Fix our eyes on Jesus, who is what? The author and the finisher of our faith. And not allow ourselves to grow weary and to lose heart. Can I tell you? I really believe right now we're learning some things, whether it be the COVID virus or all the upheaval about the election and what's going on and everything that's going on, regardless of what it is, there will be another crisis to draw your eyes and attention. And I'm telling you right now, we need to be a people that focus on who? Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen. I got news for you. I don't focus on government, and I don't focus on, there's a lot of things that ain't going to help me out with this race.
That's right.
But what I do focus on is Jesus.
Amen.
Amen? Yep. Because otherwise, I will grow weary, and I will lose heart. Yep. And most Christians that I talk to that have been around a long time, some of you have been in this journey with us for many years, and it's easy to grow weary. Mm-hmm. It's easy to lose heart. Amen?
Yeah. Yes. Amen.
Yes.
Don't sit out there and lie to me now. But like never before, what I believe more than anything the Lord's saying to us in this hour, yes, we worship, yes, we pray, we gather together, we all of those things, but I'm telling you, we need to develop a disciple's lifestyle to really live the overcoming life. And that's exactly what is being addressed there in Hebrews. Here's the thing that I'm learning in my life. If I don't live my life for the kingdom from a pure heart and from a sincere heart, and if I don't apply, I hate to say this because this gets people a little turned off, but it's just the reality of what it is. If I don't apply the necessary spiritual disciplines, I lose focus.
That's right. That's true.
That's right.
I have to discipline myself to stay focused. Anybody with me?
Yeah.
I have to discipline myself to keep my eyes on the Lord.
Yeah.
I wish it came naturally. It does not. We live in a dark and a fallen world. Amen? And there's a lot of turmoil. There's a lot of wind and waves, so to speak. You got to stay focused. I mean, we learn that from Peter, don't we?
Yeah.
You got to stay focused. And I believe in this hour, God's calling us to establish some things in our lives to cause that to come to be. Amen? Because I'll tell you what, when Jesus comes, we're supposed to be the ready bride. Amen?
Yeah.
Who's without spot or wrinkle, ready to go, glorious and ready to move into all God has got for us, who have oil in their lamps and are shining brightly at his coming. Say amen. Now,
amen.
I want to take you to, I want to look at the Great Commission in Matthew 28. So if you want to turn there, you can. And, but after what happens here, we're going to pick up with the part. After his resurrection, Jesus summoned the 11. Now, there were 11 at this time because we know that obviously Judas took his own life after he betrayed Jesus. But the 11 disciples that were there, after Jesus had appeared to them, he summoned them to meet him at a designated mountain. And I want to pick it up from there. Matthew 28, verse number 16. The 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. Now get this, but some were doubtful. I mean, you know, that's a curious phrase, isn't it? That some were doubtful. I mean, they're looking at a man who had holes in his hands, still there. A man they saw die, and they're doubtful. But I'm going to explain in a few minutes what I believe that was actually going on there. Because it didn't make sense to me. You've got this, you know, the Son of God standing before you. Why are you doubting? But I'll show you in a minute why I believe the doubt and what it came from. But Jesus came up to them and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always," what does it say? "Even to the end of the age." So we see clearly that whoever comes to faith in Jesus is what? To be baptized, right? Hello?
Amen.
And to be
Amen.
Discipled, yep. Hallelujah, by being taught everything that he had taught his disciples. Mm-hmm. How many of you glad we have the New Testament?
Yeah.
Because we have the teachings of Jesus in the Gospels, correct?
Right.
We look at his life because we're disciples of Christ. Amen? You're not disciples of Pastor Rick. You're disciples of Christ. We also have, of course, the book of Acts, and we have the epistles that were written by the apostles who heard from Jesus, and they wrote these powerful epistles, these letters to the church. And so, how many of you are glad we have the book?
Amen.
We have the New Testament, and we have, of course, the Holy Spirit to help us understand this anointed book. Hallelujah. Now, I want to take you to another thing, another couple of things here. At this time, now remember, he's appeared to them, and he tells them, he gives them this powerful commission. How many know that would be a little intimidating? Because especially for one other reason, he wasn't going to be with them in the flesh anymore.
That's right.
He was no longer going to be, you know, with them anymore. That's all these guys had known. He was always there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now suddenly they're going to see him go off into the clouds.
Yeah.
And so you can imagine what that would have been like. It's hard for us to imagine because we don't know what that's like to walk with him in the flesh. But that's what they knew. And I believe that's where the doubt came from. But he actually turned them back around by telling them and reminding them what their mission was. He reminded them of the Great Commission. Now, I want to look at what happened in this time. After this, what happens before he actually ascends into heaven the last time? Go with me to Acts chapter 1, the very beginning of the book of Acts. Chapter 1, verse number 1. "The first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach." Everybody knows the Gospel of Luke obviously was written by Luke. But Luke also wrote the book of Acts. Okay? Did y'all know that? So what he's saying is, what I've already composed and written to you, now I'm beginning to talk to you about what happened at the day when he went into heaven, okay? Because then everything changes. Everybody say everything changes. "Until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after he had been by the Holy Spirit given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. To these he also presented himself alive after his suffering," get this, "by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days. Everybody say 40 days.
40 days.
"And speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God." Now I want you to imagine this. They have been being discipled for 3.5 years. And then for these 40 days, there's almost like more of an intensive discipleship going on in their lives. He's speaking to them. He's revealing the things to them about the kingdom of God. Equipping and training was still taking place. Yes. All right?
Amen.
We might say, hey, I've been walking with you 3.5 years. I got this. No. If that was true, they would be doubting. Amen?
That's right. Yeah.
But then we know the promised Holy Spirit comes, right? That anointing of God comes upon them. Hallelujah. And Peter stands up and preaches his first sermon, but it's under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And 3,000 souls are added to the church. Hallelujah.
Amen.
How many are ready for 3,000 to be added? Glory be to God. Now, let's go forward in that story to Acts chapter 2. Go to verse 41. Acts 2:41. So then those who had received his word were baptized. Everybody say they were baptized. And that day there were added about 3,000 souls. They were continually, underline that, continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Do y'all see they were devoted to discipleship right there?
Yes.
Do you see that? They were immediately making disciples of those who had received Jesus through these devotions. Everybody say devotion.
Devotion.
And then I love verse 46, same chapter. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with what? All the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those being saved. Hallelujah. But can I tell you, not only was the Lord adding to the number of converts and people being saved, they were also growing in disciples. They were all being told to come to a new devotion in life, to live a disciple's lifestyle. Look with me in Acts chapter 6 and verse number 7. The word of God kept on spreading, and the number of the disciples continued to increase greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were becoming obedient to the faith. Does everybody agree with me? Y'all with me? The disciples were increasing greatly.
Yes.
Amen.
They just didn't have a church full of converts, but they were becoming disciples themselves. And that's why we see the great move of the gospel through the known world at that time. It was because of this. They were fulfilling the Great Commission. They were going, they were preaching, they were baptizing, and then they were making disciples of those whom they had reached for the glory of God.
Amen.
Now this commission, as we call it, is to be carried out. Do y'all know that it's supposed to be carried out to the end of the age? What did Jesus say? This gospel of the kingdom will be preached as a witness to all nations, and then the end shall come. So the mandate, the mission, the commission has not changed. Do you agree?
Amen.
What we're called to do is not change one bit, because Jesus hasn't come yet. The end hasn't come.
Amen.
Jesus said, you did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you that you would go and bear fruit. Everybody, if you're born again, look at me. If you're born again, you're commissioned. He commissioned you. A commission is interesting, because when we understand our Lord's commission, why it's called a co-mission is because He's with us.
That's right.
Amen? By the power and glory of the Holy Spirit, He is with us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But He also imparted to us an authority.
Amen.
Remember what He said? All authority has been given to me. Go therefore. So it's very important to understand that. It's about the authority in His name and the authority of His word, but it's also about the understanding that we're not doing it alone.
Amen.
We're not just talking about Him that one day we'll get to experience. We're talking about Him who's with us even now.
Amen.
That's why He said, you go and tell them the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's right within reach.
Amen.
If you open your heart.
Amen.
And believe God. You know, when the Navy builds a ship, I got to go down for the dedication of the Navajo what was the name of it? Huh? It was the keel ceremony, but it was for the boat that was going to be named the Navajo, NSS Navajo. And I got to go down there for that. It was an honor to go down there. But that vessel is being commissioned to a purpose. Are y'all with me?
Right.
Stay with me. I'm going somewhere with this.
Yeah.
They commission a vessel, and they send it out to serve the purposes of the U.S. Navy. And how many of you know that there comes a time in any vessel's life when they probably don't use it anymore,
yeah,
and they what? Decommission it.
Right.
Or we might say that vessel's out of commission.
Yeah.
It's no longer useful to the Navy.
Right.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
Can I tell you something today? Much of the church is out of commission.
Yeah,
it is.
It's out of commission. And I hear the Lord saying in my heart, I'm getting ready to recommission.
Hallelujah. That's right.
You may feel like your life's been out of commission, but that doesn't mean you're disqualified. It just means get ready. He's wanting to recommission you to the purposes of God. Say amen.
Amen.
But can I tell you, discipleship is a must to carry out this mission.
Amen.
We can do outreaches and we can do all kinds of things, but you don't harvest if you don't know how.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And we certainly can't do it without Jesus. I have done things without Jesus.
Yeah.
In his name.
Yeah.
And I saw the fruit of it, or should I say the lack thereof.
Yeah.
Amen. Now, we talked a few weeks ago in Ephesians 3 about how we're to be filled up to all the fullness of God. That blows my mind. But then I begin to realize when he says we, he's speaking of the body of Christ, not any one person. But he does want us to be full of the fullness of Christ. And then he said that our God is able to do abundantly beyond whatever we could ask or even think. Remember, we talked about that.
Yeah.
And he said, according to what? The power that is at work in and through you and me. Amen?
Amen.
That's what brings glory to the Lord forever and ever. But I want to continue from that understanding into chapter 4 of Ephesians this morning. Ephesians 4, verse number 1. Ephesians 4 and verse number 1. Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the
calling
with which you have been called. Say, I'm called.
Called.
Say, I'm called.
I'm called.
Say, I'm called.
I'm called.
With all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. Uh-oh. Really? Being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of what? Peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all.
That's a
mouthful in that verse. Amen. Is that not powerful?
Yes.
We're to walk in a manner worthy of our calling.
Yeah.
Everybody say it. One body.
One
come
body.
On. One Spirit.
One Spirit.
One hope of our calling.
One hope of our calling.
Now, well, why does he always mention that? The hope of our calling. I want you to have a revelation, he said earlier, of the hope of your calling. Because if you don't know what your calling is and your purpose is, that's why people live hopeless lives.
Yeah.
When that calling is revealed to you, you understand this is what gives me hope, because this is what I'm here for.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah. It's the calling of God. Think about this. He is God and Father over all, through all, in all. Let's say that. Over all,
through all,
and in all.
In all.
So what do I learn from that? And what I hope you'll learn today is we can't walk in our calling alone. Don't shout me down.
That's right.
We can't do it alone. It can't be done alone. Why? Because we're a part of a body.
That's it.
Yeah.
This finger works really well. I can play guitar with it. I can pick my nose with it. This finger works really well. But if you cut it off and set it by itself, it's worthless.
That's it.
And isn't that the first thing the enemy will do when you're not really growing and doing well? He'll try to get you to separate from the body.
Amen. Yes.
Or you can do this on your own. You're just an island unto yourself. It is not good for man to be alone.
No.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
No.
Go with me now to the next verse, verse 7. There in the same chapter of Ephesians. Hallelujah. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Now everybody look at me. You have a grace given to you. Hello.
Amen.
Come on. Not only the grace that saved you, but there's a grace given to you. It's your gifting. It's your calling.
That's right.
Amen. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives and gave gifts to men. Now this expression that he ascended, what does that mean except that he also descended, as we know, into the lower parts of the earth?
Yeah.
He who descended is himself, also he who ascended far above, everybody say far above,
far
all the heavens, so that he might what? Fill all things. I got news for you. If he's going to fill all things, he certainly is going to fill his church.
That's
right.
Yes.
Amen. Christ in all of us, in living in all of us. Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Verse 11. And he gave some, everybody say some, as apostles, and some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. For what purpose? For the equipping of the saints. For the work of service, or some translations actually say ministry. Okay? To what? To the building up of the
body of Christ.
Notice it doesn't say the individual necessarily. It says for the building up of what?
Body.
The body of Christ. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure, come on, here it is, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ, we've got a lot of growing to do.
Yes.
And I'm not talking numerically. Amen?
Amen.
Come on now. The fullness of Christ is revealed where? In His body. He cannot be fully revealed in any one individual. And we tend to think that way. I'll be honest. We've seen anointed men and women. If we respect them, we honor them, we run to their meetings. But I'm telling you, you won't see a full expression of Jesus. I don't care how strong that anointing is on that
man
or woman.
That's right.
Because it's shown in the body.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. The leadership gifts are given to lead, obviously, to equip the saint. Now, when you know what I'm saying? The leadership gifts. The apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Okay? They are given so that the saints will be led and equipped to do the work of service, to do the work of the ministry. Hallelujah. Leadership gifts are not given so that the saints will sit around and watch them do the ministry.
Right.
True.
Right.
Come on.
Right.
What I do in a meeting like this is this is my gifting and calling as a leader to teach and to impart. Yes. But the bottom line is, my whole point is that you will be more equipped to do what you're called to do.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Training.
Amen.
And again, it's for the building up. I like to put it this way, to build up a functioning body.
Yes.
Amen.
That's what I long for. When we start becoming a functioning body,
then
you're going to see even numerical growth.
Yes. Yeah.
And then you're going to start seeing disciples multiplying.
Yes. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And what's the end result? That we all attain to the unity of the faith. That means we are as one. That means we are in agreement. That means we're the Bible word you see in a lot of translations. We really learn what it means to be in one accord. Amen?
Amen.
That's important. We do need to be in the unity of the faith. We need sound doctrine. Would you agree?
Amen.
But we also need to come to the knowledge of the Son. And that word for knowledge, as I told you, is not just knowing stories about Jesus. It's a relationship with Jesus. And how many of you know, if we as a body aren't knowing the Son, our head, we've got a problem.
Yes.
Amen? I'm not making fun of anybody when I say this, but if you've ever seen somebody that has a disease that causes neurological issues to where body parts do things that the brain doesn't want to do. How many know? And it's exactly kind of what we go through many times. Because the head has what He wants to do and how He wants to flow through us. But I believe the healing of God is coming, not only to the land, but the healing's coming to the body to bring us into that place. Here's the goal, that we, not just me or a couple of us, but that we grow.
Amen.
Amen. To a mature man in Christ. And so what does He mean by that? Here it is. Here's the end result. Are you ready for this? To the measure of the stature that belongs to Christ. We got some growing to do.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen? Amen. All of us do.
Yes.
And I'm not talking about whether you're a big church or a little church in the sense of numerical value. I'm talking about the maturity of Christ being shown.
Amen.
In and through us. Amen? And here's the thing. That measure is to the measure of Christ. It's not to the measure of your pastor.
Amen.
That's right.
It's to the measure of Christ. Because your pastor needs to grow too. And don't say amen to that. No. What did Jesus say? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Remember that? He said, why do you say show me the Father? I've been showing you the Father in through my life as the Son of God. Right?
Amen.
You've seen me, you've seen Daddy. Right? Yep. Well, if we are the body of Christ, what should people be saying when they see the body of Christ?
Jesus.
They should be seeing Jesus,
amen,
the head. And if you see Jesus, the head, you see the Father.
That's yes. Right. Yes. Amen.
That's why God is revealed in the body of Christ. Does that make sense? Did y'all get that? Y'all get that? Did you connect the dots?
Yep.
Go to verse 14 now. As a result, we are to no longer be children. Everybody say, no longer be children.
No longer be children.
And pull your toes in if this bothers you, but it's just the way it is. Tossed about by every wave. Amen?
Amen.
Carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to...
Grow
everybody
up.
Say it out loud. Grow up in all aspects into
him.
Into who? Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body being what? Fitted and held together by what every joint supplies according to the proper working, underline this, of each individual part. That's you. We're not talking about bones here. We're talking about people. Everybody with me? We're not talking about a skeleton. Halloween's over.
Amen.
We're talking about people. I mean, I know we use the reference dry bones coming together.
Yeah.
But the whole point is, the whole point of this thing about a body is to not get us overthinking this thing. Okay? But it causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. How many of you know, you might say to somebody, yeah, I'm going to run down and meet pastor at the church. How many of you know, if you met me down here, this is not the church? Is it? But that's the way we think, don't we?
Yeah. Yeah.
We think of the body of Christ, we immediately start tripping out on something different than what God intended. Here's the thing, beloved. People who aren't discipled in the word are easily deceived. How many of you know that's true? Some of you, when you weren't discipled in the word, you were easily deceived, right?
Yes.
Every little wind of doctrine that blew, you were questioning what you believed and everything else. And Jesus said there would be many false prophets and many false teachers, and that they would increase toward the end. And we're seeing it.
Yes.
What do we do then? We should always speak, let me put it this way, we should always speak corrective truth. How many know there's times you have to correct? And what you do, you speak corrective truth to any falsehood that somebody may be under, and speak that truth in love. I had a dear man that was working on our house, and he was a great brother. I think he was a brother, not in the Lord, I don't know for sure yet. But he began to share some things with me, and I began to realize in his searching, he had been kind of going through some various things that are false, like dealing with Mormonism and dealing with Jehovah's Witness and things like that. And I began to realize he was confused. He read the Bible a lot. He was asking me a lot of questions. And I had to try to find a way to share the truth to him, to correct him in love. Amen. Hello?
Yeah.
I mean, for me just to make my point and dress him down, that wasn't going to do any good with him.
Right, right.
Amen?
Right.
And so you learn how to do that, okay? Quit looking around the room. He doesn't go to church here. Right. Hallelujah. And I'm praying for the man to come to the light, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't fall down on my driveway that way, but I just tried to give his heart to Jesus. But I'm telling you, I'm praying for him every day because I've made a connection now. Hallelujah. Plus, I need to come back and finish the job. But anyway. Beloved, we need the ministry of the fivefold. We need that. We need to be equipped. We need to have truth spoken to us. Say amen.
Amen.
And we need to be discipled so that we can grow in all aspects into Christ. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit about this fitting and being held together. It says in the New American Standard, in every joint. How many of you know my finger is connected to my hand? There's a joint there, right? Mm-hmm. There's a joint in the finger itself, too. And so at every point, these bones come together, right? At every joint. There's the only way that's going to work unless you got a lot of duct tape. So you got to have a spiritual connection. That's what I want. It's a spiritual point of connection. Because remember, we're talking about people. Mm-hmm. Talking about you and me. There's a spiritual point of connection. And every individual part, every person needs to be connected. Would you agree?
Amen.
Because if you're not, guess what? You can't function properly.
That's it. Right.
You can't function properly. There's no life source. There's no power. The old King James says the power is supplied at the joint. And I like that because it speaks to life. It means that life flows where there's a connection. How many know if you have a dislocated body part, that's very painful. And that part is completely disabled until you get that fixed. Are you with me?
Yeah.
You slip a disc, you get a dislocated finger or something with your knee or something. How many of you know? You've got to get that fixed.
Yeah.
We're all supposed to employ our gifts to serve everyone. Amen? And no individual part can function if it's not connected to the body. I'm going to come back to that in just a moment. But again, as the prophet said, it's time for what? The dry bones to come together. Amen? It's time to come together. It's time for the revealing of the sons of God. But we're only going to reveal him together.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Don't be so full of yourself that you think you can do it by yourself. I need you, you need me, and he needs us.
Amen.
To step into that role. Yeah. It means we're all going to have to grow and mature together into Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, John reveals in his epistles, and we talked about this a few weeks ago, that there are three levels of a believer's growth and maturity. And just for to kind of give you a review, remember he talked about he addressed little children, remember? Then he addressed the young man, and then he addressed the fathers. How many know there's three levels of growth? And ladies, this is not gender specific, okay? Relax. Little children, young men and women, it make you feel better, fathers and mothers. But anyway, so you see the growth pattern that is there. Would you agree?
Yes.
How many love little kids? I mean, like the little babies and all that is already. I mean, after 10 or 12 years, you would not want to still be holding a little baby.
No.
Yeah.
Somewhere along the line, we should have been growing, right?
Right.
And when you go to the doctor with your baby, they'll talk to you about, is he seeing the proper growth patterns in the child's life? Think about this. When you and I were born again, we were born again of a seed, which is the Word of God. And as little children, Peter writes that we're to long for the milk of the Word. The milk of the word. How many know this word is meat, but it's also milk?
Yeah.
Especially when you're young in the Lord, right? You don't dive into meat when you're a little baby.
No.
But you need some milk, so what? So that you may grow. Everybody say grow.
Grow.
Now we all begin our Christian life as babes in Christ, right?
Amen.
As little children. We all began there. But there's a time when you have to say to yourself, you should no longer be a little child.
That's it.
Spiritually speaking, right? Right?
Right.
Hebrews 5 says, I didn't put this verse on the list today, but Hebrews 5 says, by now we ought to be teachers. But some were still on milk and not on solid food, because solid food is for the mature. We all need to grow, and I want to encourage us all to grow. I'm not accusing anybody of anything. You have to deal with God about where you think you are in your growth. But as we begin to grow, we become into this status that, not status, but this place of growth that John referred to as being young men. And he goes on to describe them. These are men who know how to eat the meat of the Word of God. These are men who've committed themselves as disciples to the Lord. They're mature. They're faithful witnesses. They know how to teach. But they also are led by the Holy Spirit of God. They've ultimately lost their life to this world and said, Lord, I'm living for your sake and for the gospel's. That's what a young man would be described at in his maturity. And here's the way I like to put it. What does that mean? That means you live always ready to reach out to somebody else. How many want to get to that place? Amen. Where your maturity is not about you and your blessing, but it's about how you can be a blessing. How many know? Yes. You know you've changed in maturity. How many know you are blessed with the blessing of Abraham? Do you believe that?
Yes.
Do you believe that? As a child of God, you're blessed. But how many know? You go to a place in life where you start to realize, I am blessed, and it's not about me anymore. It's about me being blessed to be a blessing to somebody else.
That's right.
Hallelujah. All you mature men, shout me down.
Amen.
Okay, all right. And then he talked about fathers. These are the mature men who've developed a father's heart. They have a heart for the next generation. They have a heart for those who need to grow. Fathers are reproductive. Amen? I believe they win souls. I believe they certainly know how to teach, but they didn't stop there, because they don't only teach, they teach as fathers to their spiritual sons and daughters. In other words, they're not only disciples, but they're disciple makers.
That's right.
For the glory of God. Anybody want to be a disciple maker? I want to become a faithful disciple, and I want to grow, but I want to be a disciple maker. So the question I would ask everyone today is, are you still growing and developing spiritually? Or could your growth and development have plateaued? I'll be honest with you. Even in the ministry, I have to be careful that I don't allow myself to start to kind of plateau. I just all my work that I do is based upon ministering and not on what I need in my life to grow, to move forward. Are y'all with me? We all need to keep growing, developing, maturing. Growing, developing, maturing. Growing, developing, maturing. You might say, for how long, Pastor Rick, until we reach to the fullness of the stature that belongs to Christ? And I got news for you. When that begins to really happen in the church, Jesus is soon coming.
That's right.
Amen?
That's
right. But are we connected to one another? Now, let me talk to you about that, because that connection to one another, there's a direct connection, but there's also an indirect connection. Let me explain. My finger, again, is connected to my hand. Do we agree?
Yes.
How many of you know, even a perfectly good finger would not work on my foot? Are y'all with me?
That's right.
I'd be one goofy pastor looking pastor, right? Something's wrong with that guy. Let me just tell you something. My finger is directly connected to my hand, but indirectly, my finger's connected to the whole body.
That's it.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Does that help you a little bit? Because see, there's going to be people that you minister with and you have a lot in common with in the sense of ministry. I'm talking about in the sense of ministry and function and growth, that you're going to be more connected with more in a more direct way. It may have to do with the ministry you do or whatever. But then there's others, you're still connected outside of even Freedom Gate. We're all indirectly connected to the universal body of Christ.
Yes.
Amen. Throughout the planet.
Yeah.
There's that connection that is there. Did I confuse you, or did I help you with that? Okay. A body part, an individual, cannot properly function in their gifting alone, because we are fitted and held together at the point of our connectedness. Everybody say connectedness.
Connectedness.
Again, because life and power is found at the point of a spiritual connection where our gift will properly function. And this is, how many know this is especially important when you minister to someone? Even when Jesus just sent the disciples out just to go into communities and towns, he always at least sent them in pairs. Remember that? He sent them out together, because there's a greater power and effectiveness when you're not trying to do that on your own. How many of you found that out the hard way? I have. Hallelujah. I mean, I love it when there's somebody beside me. Like, I may be even carrying the ball at an altar call. You know, when I say carrying the ball, just being the one that's really doing a lot of the praying. But then my wife or somebody else will be there with me, and all of a sudden they interject something that they saw.
Amen.
And their gift begins to flow into that, and it opens something up. Y'all with me?
Amen.
It's so powerful to do it that way. The Lord never intended us to do it, even the ministry, to do that alone, okay? Okay?
Okay.
All right. Now, when we look at Jesus' making of disciples, I mean, if we're going to look at it, let's look at his pattern. If we look at his pattern, we see that there were two main things about his. And I promise you, everybody relax. This is the last time I'm going to preach from the pulpit on discipleship after this week. But number one, you can't get away from this. Jesus' idea of discipleship was doing life together. Everybody say together.
Together.
In a community of believers. And they do that through fellowship, where they would worship, where they would grow and serve together, be accountable to one another, and be subject to one another in fear of Christ. And they lived that for 3.5 years.
Yeah.
And immediately the early church began to live it.
Yeah.
They were going from house to house. I read that to you. House to house, they were communing together, and they were staying connected. Amen.
Yeah.
But secondly, obviously, Jesus didn't want you just to have a nice little bless me club. But with that growth, he wants you to be equipped and trained, amen? So that you can be a disciplined follower of Jesus and carry out the assignment, the Great Commission. Hallelujah?
Amen.
I mean, that's ultimately, really, that's it. Those two main things kind of encompass everything about discipleship. By the way, the word equip, if you study the Greek on that word, and I'll never forget this when I heard this years ago, and I can't recall what pastor I was. It was back in Memphis at my brother's church. I remember he taught about the word. He really knew the Greek and Hebrew really well. And he talked about in the meaning of equip. Get this. It also carries the meaning of like polishing and fitting something into place. Kind of like if you're a living stone and you're being fitted into the wall. And it's like there's a place you fit. How many know if you don't fit, it just doesn't work.
Right.
It's again like being disjointed. But when you understand equipping is not just that you learn some things and you gain some skills. That's part of it. But it's really about finding your sweet spot.
Mm-hmm.
It's finding that place where you really function well. Would anybody like to find what that fit is?
Amen.
That God has for you in the body of Christ. And so what I'm going to ask all of you, and I'm including those of you online with us every Sunday, I'm asking you to commit to an initial 12 weeks of weekly meetings. Getting together, that this will begin the week after Thanksgiving. We've got this coming week, Thanksgiving week. It'll begin that week. Just to let you know, the plan is this. We will meet for 3 weeks, and then we'll take off the end of the month with Christmas and New Year's, and then get back in and finish up. And it'll end sometime in late February. I just thought this initial startup foundational thing that we want to get going, okay?
Amen.
These groups will be in small groups of 12 or less, okay? We're going to break bread together. What I mean by that is partake of Holy Communion together. We're going to pray. We're going to have very relational type teaching and impartation. And we want it to be more practical where you can take something you've learned and not just file it away in a notebook, but apply it to your life.
Amen.
Because I mean, the truth that makes you free is only the truth that you can apply.
That's right.
You can quote scriptures till the cows come home.
That's right.
Right?
Amen.
And you'll still be bound up. But it's truth applied that sets you free.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So it's important for us to have, and can I tell you, these will be, I'm going to say it right now. I know we at least have one, probably two or three, but these groups will be powerful.
Amen.
If you'll be committed to it.
Amen.
They will change your life. I promise you they will, because it's what God intended for us to do.
Amen.
As a body. And what we'll be establishing in this initial round of discipleship is going to be those key foundational blocks and pillars of faith that we all need so that we can truly lead an abundant life and also be able to overcome the obstacles that we're going to be facing in these last days.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? To have some victory. Amen?
Amen.
For every storm that comes through doesn't blow our foundation out from under us.
That's right.
But where we can stand and make it through those things and withstand the tribulations that are coming. Amen?
Amen.
And one thing I haven't told you over these months, just set all their election stuff aside. I'm talking about, no matter what I've told you over all these months, storms are here. Storms are here, and it, I'm telling you, we've got to know how to weather through it, and we can only do that with Christ. Say amen with me.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to ask you, I don't ask you to run to the front and hug my neck or anything right now. What I'm asking you is, will you participate and join me in preparation to reach and disciple a generation?
Amen.
That's my heart. That's what I give myself to. That's where my ministry started.
Yeah.
With the youth years ago. And I'm telling you, we've got to get back to it.
Amen.
And the purpose is for each of us to grow, for each of us to become a disciple, and to become a disciple maker. And when you get to that phase, I'm telling you, there's nothing like it.
Amen.
There's just nothing like being able to minister to others in the name of Christ.
Amen.
So I implore each of you, hear my heart. I say this with you with love. Shake off complacency.
Amen.
You just got to shake it off.
Yes.
Amen. Got to be decisive.
That's right.
Count the cost.
That's right.
And then set some goals. Say, Lord, it's worth it for me to give up that in order to have a closer relationship with you.
That's right.
And I'm going to look back on it and go, I would have given up that 100 times over for what I gained from being closer to the heart of God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You know, before his death, Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel together. And he actually, we read in the end of the book of Joshua, he begins to kind of review their history with the Lord, going all the way back to the father of their faith, Abraham. And he talked about Abraham and the descendants and how God delivered them out of slavery in Egypt, how God brought them through the Red Sea and delivered them from Pharaoh and all of those things. And then how he, Joshua, had led them over the Jordan into the promised land. And they had been in the promised land a while at this time. And then Joshua challenges them in the latter years of his life. And in Joshua 24:13, look what he says. First of all, he speaks to them as from the Lord. He said, I gave you, verse 13, I gave you a land on which you have not labored, and cities which you had not built, and you have lived in them, and you are eating of vineyards and olive groves which you did not plant. How many know they were blessed? Hello?
Amen.
They were blessed.
Yes.
In verse 14, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth. Would you say that with me? In sincerity and truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, this is Joshua speaking, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Joshua was saying, I didn't cross over. I didn't get saved and called by God to turn around and serve the gods of this land.
Amen.
And live my life in idolatry. That's what he was saying.
Yeah.
And he's saying, I just want you guys to know, each of you have to decide what you want to do.
Yep.
And how you want to live your life. But as for me and my house, we're going to live for God.
Amen.
I mean, no, that's pretty decisive. But he made that very, very clear. And he challenged them with that. So with everything you do and with God, there are costs to be counted, and you got to be decisive, and you have to be committed. But can I say this to you today? God will honor it.
Amen.
I don't care if it's a time of prayer and fasting or just a new discipline in my life spiritually. I have never have God let me down and not given
Amen.
Me a greater grace to do it. But I always found on my part, I kept wanting the grace to come first. Y'all with me?
Yeah.
God, I want to feel it so I can do it.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, no, it don't work that way, son.
I'm like that.
It don't work that way, son.
Yeah.
Cut that off. Shut that out of your life.
Yeah.
Fast and seek me, and I'll show up. But no. You're wanting grace before you humble yourself. I'm asking you, humble yourself, and I will give you the greater grace. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I say that with you with all confidence, guys, because a lot of us think there's no way I could add any more to my plate. But I got news. This is about life and death.
Amen.
I'm just going to go on and say it. This is about life and death.
Yep.
And about whether or not we live the abundant life or not. It's important for us to get it. Not just me and Marvin. He's already so blessed us. Would you agree?
That's
he
right.
saved us by grace. He's given us a new life. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
But he's also set a race before us.
That's right.
And many aren't running it.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, even after the resurrection, that first verse we looked at, his disciples were doubtful. And again, I kept going, what are they doubtful about? You know, the Son of Glory is standing there with holes in his hands and feet, and he's showing Thomas, you know, check it out for yourself, you know. He's showing up in rooms without knocking on the door.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, this is, you know, what is there to doubt? And I'm convinced it was the fact that, you know, that they thought, okay, we're going to do this without Jesus. Somehow, I'm sure they weren't wrapping their brain around it, but he reassured it. Interestingly, he reassured them with the commission. He gave them the commission. And that was the very thing that erased the doubt.
Amen.
We're called to this. Amen?
Amen?
We're called to this.
Yes.
And I'll be with you always. Amen?
Even
until the end of the age. I'm actually going to be with you. I just won't be physically with you. The Holy Spirit who's been with you will be in you.
In you.
Hallelujah. So he challenged them with that. And guys, interestingly, I know that's why the Lord said even to the end of the age. So that generations to come, like ours, couldn't make an excuse. Well, that was then. That was the book of Acts. Yeah. That's totally different than now. No, it's not totally different. Because our God does not change. He is the same with us today as he was yesterday.
That's right.
Come on. And he will be forever. He's unchanging. His word is unchanging.
That's right. Amen.
He's an unchanging God.
Amen.
Y'all better wake up. I'm going to go Pentecostal on you here. Got my Bible out waving it at you. Let me give you a message in tongues in a second. Let's allow him to disciple and recommission us. Anybody want to be recommissioned?
Amen.
I'm really honestly asking.
Yes.
Do you want to be recommissioned for such a time as this? But I just encourage you, don't be fearful. Don't be doubtful. Now I'm going to make a statement. I want you to hear it when I say it. The growth of our church begins with each of us. You got that?
Amen.
Because we individually grow together. You hear what I said? We individually grow
together.
Right.
And if we don't grow together, we don't really grow even individually.
That's right.
Are you with me?
Amen.
We are entering more and more urgent and troublesome times. Okay? I'm not really even talking about COVID and any despair you may or may not have about the upheaval in government and the nation and what's being planned or not being planned or this or that. I'm just talking about, guys, you can see things on the horizon, and the prophets are making it very, very clear. The people of God better start walking close
that's
with
right,
God.
That's yeah. Right.
I'm not threatening you. I'm not threatening you, but I do want to challenge you.
You've got to be an army. Yeah.
The growth of our church will begin on us growing together, and we need to understand something. The Bible speaks of days being evil days, yeah. Difficult days, times of trouble. I wish they weren't. Those scriptures weren't in the Bible.
Yeah.
Don't you?
Yeah.
I wish you just said, "Oh yeah, that last generation. It's gonna be so peaceful. Oh man, it's gonna be a walk in the park."
Yeah, right.
No, it doesn't say that at all. But there's a remnant that understands that. Can I tell you? This Bible tells us that we are equipped to withstand what's coming upon the earth.
Amen.
Hello?
Yeah.
We are equipped to withstand it. And again, I'm not trying to scare you, but I guess I am trying to sober us up.
Yeah.
About understanding what could be aligned. I don't know what's going to happen in the days, weeks, months, and even years to come regarding the times that are ahead. But can I tell you, he has equipped us completely.
Yes.
Amen. The last verse, Ephesians 6, beginning with verse number 10. Everybody okay? Yes, Pastor. This is what we wanted to hear. Verse 10. You know this verse well. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of... In the strength of what?
His might.
Say it. His might.
His might.
Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm. Say it. Stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Hallelujah. For our struggle is not, there it is, is not against what? Flesh and blood. But it's against the rulers, against the powers, against the forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. I wish he didn't give so much attention to that. When I read that, I'm like, wow. But that's what we're up against. Amen?
Yeah, that's right.
Therefore what? Take up the full armor of God.
Yeah.
How many know you can have some armor, but if you're missing a piece, your enemy will go there.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen?
Yeah.
You don't have a particular part. Any warrior knows, oh, I see a crack in his armor, and that's where I'm going to go. Amen?
Yep.
Even in football,
yep.
If the star cornerback, the defensive player gets taken out by an injury, the quarterback immediately throws at the rookie that just got put in.
Yeah.
Because he sees a chink in their armor. Forgive me, Lord, for using sports as an analogy. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to what? Notice this. Resist when? In the evil day. And having done everything, come on, to stand firm. Hallelujah. Anybody want to be able to stand firm? Then I'll tell you, armor up.
That's it.
We've got to.
Amen. We got to armor up. And we must be discipled and know how to take up and put on our spiritual armor.
That's right.
And how to fight and how to stand. Because you know what? The bottom line is not just that I was able to stand and take my blows. The bottom line is that I could still be a witness for him. Amen?
Yeah.
And get the harvest that he has coming. Amen?
Yeah.
That I could still go out there, even in the midst of the enemy whirling around me. Guys, we're going to need to live in it. Let me just say something to you. I know there's a lot of talk of the COVID numbers going up again and all of that. And again, I'm not saying, you know what? You need to be wise. Amen?
Amen.
Yes.
Hello? You need to be wise just as we were before and use hygiene, all those things. You need to be wise. But more than ever, you need to pray.
Yeah.
You need to dwell in the secret place of the Most High God. You need to partake of Holy Communion regularly, if not daily. Amen. And keep yourself under the blood. And let's go through this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Don't let your guard down. Don't drop your shield.
That's right.
The Word of God is your shield.
That's right.
Amen. It's the sword of truth. Yeah.
Amen.
The shield of faith. Amen.
Yep.
Are y'all with me?
That's right.
We got to wise up. Amen. Sometimes I think something's over and I start to let my guard down. Do you ever do that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I let my guard down.
Yeah.
Like, oh man, I got to stay in the battle. Whew. But He's calling us, beloved. He's calling us to join Him.
Amen.
And live a disciple's lifestyle. I just encourage you. I know some of you are thinking right now, okay, well what night of the week will that be? And when will we do it? Or how will we do it? And whatever. I just need to talk to those who want to do it. And we're going to figure this out. We're going to figure out how to do it, what night to do it. I am very open because we do have some people that legitimately cannot be here in a building because of their schedules or whatever, they work nights or whatever. And I'm actually considering trying to do a Zoom discipleship group. I don't think it will be as good as being together in person. But I would rather offer that than not be able to offer that to people that sincerely want to do it. And they can't. They would have to quit their job to do it or whatever. Y'all with me?
Yeah.
Come on. And for those of you that feel like you need to do that. But we'll work through that. But here's the thing. We have to make a decision and count the cost. And again, I want you to get this part. He promises a greater grace. So even though I would say to you, I don't fully know how we're going to make this work, but He promises a greater grace to get it done. Because it's the Father's heart. And so we feel weak, insufficient. We don't have the wisdom needed or how to apply it or whatever. And God, when His grace comes on something, it's just like it just takes it to the next level. Are you with? Can we believe for that together?
Yes.
And I want to agree with some of you. You might say, well, Pastor, I really want to do that, but I don't know when I could do it or how I could do it. Don't say that. Just say, Lord, I want to do this. Show me how it can happen.
That's right.
Will you do that?
Yeah.
Will you do that? Those of you at home, will you do that? Will you make that? Will you make that? Even some of our friends and partners that watch and worship with us from not even in this state, in this city, that worship from back east, if some of you want to do a part of it, we're going to make this happen. Amen?
Amen.
By the grace of God.
Amen.
Not by the wisdom of Rick Bennett, but by the grace of God, we're going to pull this off in the name of the Lord. Are y'all with me?
Amen.
Grace always makes things happen because what God does, in our weakness, God shows His strength by His grace.
Yeah.
His grace is what made perfect in our weakness.
Yeah.
So in our insufficiency, in our lack of wisdom or our lack of know-how, God comes in with a grace and takes us to another level. I'm so excited because I know how good discipleship worked with those teenagers back in the 90s. I'm so excited because God showed me a lot of different things and things that we need to, that I wouldn't do the same thing we did back then.
Mm-hmm.
But the core of what we're doing it will be the same in regards to why we do it and what God wants to do. Okay. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Freedom Gate. And all of our friends and family, all of our partners, God is recommissioning us in this hour.
Amen.
If we'll just step up and get reconnected. Let me tell you, it's important for you to get connected beyond just waving at somebody on Sunday morning. We need to be more connected in ministry together and learning and growing together. Amen.
Amen.
We need that. We got to make that happen. Hallelujah. People say they don't have time. Come on. I know people that give hours upon hours upon hours to the internet, Facebook scrolling, whatever. And they say they don't have time. We do have time.
Yes.
That's right.
Hello, we do have time, but we may have to cut some things off to make that happen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I want to function properly in my gift. So I ask you this. Reverently choose to worship the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. Let's say that again. In sincerity and truth. And let's understand something. It won't be fruitful for you if you're not devoted. You've got to be devoted. Got to be devoted to make it happen. Amen?
That's right.
And keep those devotions. And it's all about the Lord. Devotion is about the Lord. It's not about pleasing me. I'm not asking you to please me. I'm really not. If we only have one group, then I'm going for it.
Mm-hmm.
We have three groups. I'll do whatever I can to make sure those groups are led and are off and running. Because some of you are going to be leading groups in the years, not years,
Amen.
But weeks and months to come. Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. With brand new believers coming into the
That's
kingdom
right.
of God.
That's right. Brand new believers.
There's a verse. Do not turn there, please. This last verse. Don't turn there. I don't have it to put on the wall. I just saw it a couple days ago. Y'all remember Deborah, a powerful warrior, woman of God, right? Deborah?
Yeah.
Well, Deborah sang a song of triumph. And it's found in Judges 5, but I never had seen it written in the New Living Translation. Listen to this. This is what she said. Israel's leaders took charge and the people gladly followed.
gladly
fall. I know you're thinking, is that it? Yeah.
We gladly fall.
When leaders take charge, and every one of you, I've been with us through this thing, I look at you as leaders, and when you take charge, the people follow.
Yeah.
Wow. Amen?
Yeah.
And your pastor is getting ready to take charge. We're going to do this.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
And you're going to gladly follow. Some of you are actually going to smile at me right now instead of glare at me. We're going to make this happen. Amen?
Amen.
Some of you that live far away, we'll have a group in your neighborhood. Now, we're going to make it happen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Lift your hands to heaven. Father, I thank you today that you're not calling us unto something that is anything but life and life abundant and intimacy and closeness and the nearness of you. Lord, you're calling us into this. It's for the well-being of our lives, for the well-being of our marriages, for the well-being of our families, for the well-being of all that we do in this life for your glory. And I thank you, Lord, that when we learn to truly live a disciple's lifestyle, it changes everything.
Amen.
Because now your kingdom is manifest beyond a prayer service or beyond a worship service on a Sunday. Your kingdom is being manifested in our very homes and in our very lives at every turn. For Lord, I thank you, Lord God, you are always with us. We are not orphans.
That's right.
We are not left alone. We are not abandoned. We are not deserted. But for such a time as this, Lord, I pray that all of us, in the sound of my voice, will choose this day to say, Lord, we're going to serve you. Me and my house, we're going after you. We're going to live for you. And if there's anything in our lives that is pulling us away from this deeper relationship with you, Lord God, we pray for the grace to be able to walk away from it, to cut it off, to stop it, and begin to walk in the freedom of the glory of the sons of God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Lord, I pray and believe today in the sound of my voice. There's some children that are getting ready to grow into young men. And there's some young men that are getting ready to grow into becoming fathers in the faith in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
And with that, we will see your harvest come in a mighty and glorious way. Father, I just release your blessing upon every one of you right now. Just receive it right now. A blessing of grace to you in the name of Jesus. Do not despise a small beginning. And where some of you have felt like your spiritual growth has stopped developing and stopped growing, you feel like you are plateaued or even stunted in your growth, the Lord would say, I'm going to make up to you. I'm going to make up to you for all the years of corruption, all the years of loss, all the years where you felt like you were dead in the water. The Lord says, I'm going to redeem those years for your glory, and I can do it in an instant, says the Lord, by my grace. Hallelujah. Do you receive that right now?
Yes.
Do you receive that right now?
Yes.
The Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you and grant you peace, shalom, be upon you all, even now and forevermore. In the mighty and matchless name of Jesus, I pray. And everybody said,
amen
and amen. Hallelujah. Give a shout of glory.
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Y'all receive that?
Yes.
Now, I am going to be contacting you between now and a couple weeks from now just to get a feel for how it looks for you. I'm going to be very confident here that all of you are going to want to do it. Woohoo! And we're going to make this work. But I need to start talking to some of you and talking about our schedules and talking about our calendars and things like that and figure out how we're going to make this happen. All right?
Yes.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, we love you. Be safe. Hello? Be safe. Wash your hands. Keep your distance. And
keep praying.
Keep praying. Keep praying, keep pressing in. We will be here. We had a great time Thursday night. You know, we prayed the week before, I think on a Monday night, and had the band and the guys were here helping us, and we were praying and worshiping. And we just had a little circle down here. So as many of you come, but come and join us on Thursday nights. We'll start at 6:30, okay, on Thursday night. And every Thursday night, except for right now, well, we won't do it Thanksgiving night. We won't do it on Thanksgiving week. We may do it earlier in the week, maybe. I don't know. We'll talk about that. But let me know. I want to be talking to you. And when I respond to you, just in the grace of God, if you don't want to do it or can't do it or just absolutely don't think you can do anything to make it happen, just tell me. And that way I can focus on the ones that want to do it as far as figuring out how we're going to make this happen and what day of the week we're going to meet and that kind of thing. It's really important for me so I can get this thing further down the road, because I really meant for this to start a lot sooner than now. And but God's good, and he knows our timing. And at the heart of all this, I'll just say this. You could cut that if you want to, Verge. Well, I guess you can leave it on, but, you can cut it. Bye, everybody. Love you.
Bye.
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 Now, reason I was saying.